This is Jane Kennedy and Mick Molloy. Kennedy Molloy. Buckle up, Australia. Here they come. Straight from a very long lunch. And frankly, this could go anywhere. This is Kennedy Molloy.
You don't know how often that statement is true.
We have come from
a very long lunch. It's not unusual. We'll tell you why in just a moment. Who is our very special guest today, Jane Kennedy? This is as big as we've had.
Russell Crowe. I give you Russell Crowe on a platter.
Live there on the show today.
And also Tim Rosso. We're going to talk about a great exhibition he's talking about. He's travelling around talking about iconic Australian products.
I can't wait. We're going to go to the bottom of a great exhibition and a great registry of gifts from Russell Crowe. The two of them.
There you go. Iconic Australian stuff.
Could go. I'm interested in talking about Prince Harry's bucks. I will bring that up at some stage.
Oh, will you? Interesting.
I can't believe he hasn't called on me yet.
He's bugging you that you haven't been invited.
That's very weird.
Hey, I'm calling bullshit on a few things today.
Are you?
Yes,
well,
I am.
I might join you on that front too. Yes.
Okay.
Anything you want to get off your chest right now? No.
No. Save it.
Sit on it.
Save it.
Forex. Strike. Beer strike.
Don't say that.
Games.
How dare you?
Is that un Australian?
No, it is un Australian.
Can you
Don't
do
upset
it?
Me.
What does it mean for the games? Will they go ahead?
Well, Bob Catter's very annoyed about it as well. He's going to change brand of drinks, he says, if that goes through.
Wow.
Stormy Daniels.
Yeah, okay. Stormy Daniels has got some info and some intel, and I'm sorry to say, it's dick pics.
Oh,
presidential dick pics.
Oh, no.
Are they the first ever? Have you been sent a dick pic? Have you received one? What's it all about?
I'm going to ask that
thing?
Question.
Why
Who's
is it a
getting
thing?
These? I certainly don't, and I'm quite happy not to.
Well, feel free. I'll give out your Instagram and we can sort that out.
No, please, I don't want that happening.
We're going to take your calls. We're going to take your
tweets. And we've got a Ferris Bueller-style story for
you. What have you done? Is this something that's personal
to
you?
Not something I've done. Well, it is personal about going to put your car in for service.
Putting your car in for service as a chick or just in general?
In both.
All righty.
Both. I cover all bases, I do.
I think that's a fair bit to wade through on today's big program. All that and much, much more coming up on today's edition of Kennedy.
Full belly.
Oof. All right. It's an opening.
Well, you know.
One across
had
the bow.
Had a nice lunch.
We have a nice lunch. Hello, Dave.
G'day, guys.
Dangerous
how are
you? Dave, how are you?
I had
you
a great
went
lunch,
to the lunch
as well.
Too. We Thank all went you. To a lunch. We went to the same lunch because one of our producers here, Whitney, is
it's
having
her
30th birthday.
Birthday.
Well,
you're
not supposed
to say
that.
My God, you don't think I'm saying 30 over and over?
Well,
that's a great age.
I remember your 60th. You said,
God, take that back.
You don't.
Take that back.
All right.
I took my age off Wikipedia. Did you know that?
Did you?
I'm taking my age off Wikipedia.
I thought you'd been hacked by the Russians. They care a lot about you.
Anyway.
You took your age off Wikipedia.
Yes, I did, because I'm ageless. Anyway, back to Whitney being 30.
She's 30 and we all went to a lunch. Can I say something straight off the bat, if you don't mind?
Go ahead.
I found the lunch kind of disappointing.
How? I thought it was really nice.
No, can I tell you why?
You are
can I tell you
why?
Can I tell you why? It's nothing personal.
What?
I just, when you're doing breakfast radio, lunches are so much more festive. It's like license to go cocoa bananas.
I know.
License to go out on a bender. Nothing till 6 in the morning. And I hadn't factored that in. This was my first kind of
lunch.
As a show. And I'm going, can't wait for lunch. We're going to go berserk.
I know, just as we got packing.
I have one beer. And then I've got to have to go back now and edit something.
Oh, yep. Poor baby.
Can we have dinners from now on?
Yes, let's, mate.
We should have done a dinner, Whitney.
Sorry, Whit. She seemed pretty happy with
it. Jane's poorly planned this again.
Oh, my God.
How is you trying to make us all look bad, too?
Yeah.
So we all, Dave, am I on to
it? I'm so with you, Mick.
Why did I make you look bad?
Is it something you need to do? Is it just, so we're all sitting there, we think, we'll have a good dinner with a bunch of friends, and then you walk with all the balloons.
Giant balloons, the biggest you've ever seen.
All the big letters, all the big...
I'm a girl. I'm a girl. What can I say? I think of that thing, and I thought that Whitney might like that. She can put it on her Instagram, and it's
Is it one-upmanship? Is that the phrase we're looking for here?
I wasn't. I'll tell you what happened though. When I'm pick them up from the shop, and you've got to get them in your car, And I'm very conscious, having small children, when you say, here, hold this, when they've got a helium balloon. I can't begin to tell you how many runaway balloons I've had in my life. Right. So I was, it's a very windy day where I was, and I was clutching onto them. So we get into the restaurant, and before Whitney arrived, I said to James, our young producer,
not James again.
Would you mind helping me put these big 3-0 golden numbers up? Careful. Because they're on the string and we've got to put the weights on them.
Yep.
And I do mine. I'm doing the 3. Next minute, whoom. Why is the 0 up on the roof, James?
Is he here as some kind of community program? I wonder. Had he had a Pinot Gris? He probably had a Pinot Gris.
And he hadn't even had one yet. So he had to climb on a chair and try and pull it down before she bumped into the door.
We'll get sued for this. And can I say well done, Triple M, for picking up the bill?
Yeah, that was very nice.
Highly unusual, and they did get it. And, but I still have to say, very miserly, Triple M.
Not miserly.
Do you know what? No.
Well, we do go back, Nick.
They don't shell out anymore. Like, well. Okay, times have changed. Do you remember the best? Do you remember the D-Generation luncheon we went to? Up on the Gold Coast for the IndyCar.
Yeah, right. It was actually a 3-day stay.
It was a 3-day bender.
Yeah.
And we were up there.
They were the 80s. It was
a guy
pretty
called, Michael
flexible.
J. I'm Canadian. Oh, what do you want? God. Tell me what you want, guys.
Nick, it was
and
terrible.
He put on a lunch and the door, we're staying in some kind of skase-style mansion.
Very flat.
And the door opened and 30 blokes carrying silver trays walked through the door. That's a Triple M I know.
Was that a ratings party or something?
No.
Wasn't even a ratings party.
We were doing a broadcast from up there. Just for 2 days, I think.
I think Miss Gold Coast IndyCar turned up.
I think she walked in the room with a platter. Honestly, it was the days when it was very excessive.
Oh, man.
What happened to those days?
You didn't wake up with a chalk outline in your hotel. You hadn't gone hard enough.
Anyway, big celebrations today in
your studio. 30, according to the letters and the
balloons. I keep saying she's worried about turning 30. I say, you've got to be kidding me. 30 is great. 30 is a great age to turn. You should be celebrating.
30 is great. And how old are you again?
Well, I remember my 30th, you know, because it was just
bullshit.
A few years ago.
bullshit, which is our next segment, by the way.
No, you're not allowed to do anything on my age or I'll clock you on the head.
Jane Kennedy and Mick Molloy, two comedy greats and even better mates. This is Kennedy Molloy.
You're in trouble.
Why?
You
I'm
can't
always
delete.
Step and I'm sick of getting
occurred
in trouble.
It just occurred to me that you can't delete your own.
Oh, it just occurred to you did it. No,
Wikipedia
I call
account.
Bullshit. Well, hey. Sam came and told you. You're not. You
I
have
know
no knowledge
Wikipedia.
Of anything.
So don't start me up, or I'll change your Wikipedia page.
Go for
Give me half an hour.
Shut up.
Hey, it is time for.
I call bullshit.
Mm. Which is up and about today.
Okay.
No, and you want to start?
Yeah, I will start. This
you
is
need to be aggressive, overly aggressive today.
Stop
so
it. I'm not aggressive.
Something you want to get off your chest.
I'm not aggressive.
Okay, all right. Say it. Don't spray it.
I've read on news.com.au on the website by journalist Vanessa Brown. She's brought something to my attention.
Mm.
And just really got my... All right, I am aggressive. Because I hate this stuff.
Yes.
It's when you're shopping for clothes for women. And just say, you know, just say I'm a size 8. Sorry, I just amused myself.
I call bullshit.
Sorry, that one...
some stores right.
I'm prepared to dream.
Some stores are. So here's the joke.
So what's happened? What is it?
Kmart have been, they make their sizing really small, so you've got to go up and up and up. So this woman said, I bought my first size 18 skirt today. F you, Kmart, for your ridiculous sizing, she wrote of the item. And she photographed it, this bird, put online.
Well, sorry, what size?
18.
Well, what's that down from?
Normally she'd be size 12, right?
Whoa.
And she's getting a size 18. And then it's started a spate of people who went on her blog.
Hang on, she's going the other way.
Yeah.
Yeah.
She'd normally be a 12.
Yeah, and in Kmart sizing, she's an 18. So that's not so good for your self-esteem, right?
Right, that's
okay.
No good.
So they do, then people started and said, I'm a size 14 maximum around my waist. And legit, I was in tears because I had to buy a size 18 bikini bottom. I was not a happy camper. People have been going up to size 20 when they're a size 10 to 12. And I don't know what it is with Kmart sizing, but I have found that as well. You leave really depressed because you
but
go,
hang
what
on
the
a second.
Flip?
What are you saying? You're saying that Kmart are
upping.
And I want to be very careful wading into this territory.
Oh, yes, you be careful. Someone who shops in Hawaii for large man shirts.
Well, you know, you're going to get me in trouble.
Okay.
But when, I would have thought shops would go the other way.
There are some shops that do that. So that's why a shop like Country Road.
Kmart's gone mad. You think you're a fatty boomba.
Yeah. Totally. And we're not going to continue to buy your size 20 skirts when you're a size 10.
Maybe
I'll give you the
they're tip. Realistic.
No, they're
and everyone
not.
Else Good is point. Fibbing you.
They're not realistic because when I go to Country Road, I can get like a size 8 to 10. I go,
so
hello.
Hang on, Jane.
And even if I don't like it, I'll buy it.
So where does the truth lie for women? Somewhere between. What you're saying is you can't trust.
I can't
the
trust
sizing,
sizing
on stores anymore.
Because there's no standard Australian sizing anymore. In the US and Europe, there is standard
sizing.
So
what they're doing
reliable.
Is they're cashing in on your on women's vanity in this department.
Yes.
Women kind of feel better if they go in and go, oh, I'm only a size 8.
That's right.
This
yes.
makes me feel
they
good.
Make you feel better about yourself.
So
yes.
a similar thing happened in the world of golf, my world, which is when it's all the big thing is how far you hit the ball. So this is the male equivalent of
so this is your sweet spot.
This
right.
is the male equivalent of my bum would fatten these pants.
Yes.
So, but this is how big can I hit the ball? Okay. And so say you hit your 7-iron, 150 meters.
Mm-hmm.
I think some group in the 80s worked out Cobra. If we just change our 6-iron to and put 7 on it,
yeah.
Which people will think they're hitting a ball further. Oh, bugger me. All of a sudden, I'm hitting my 7-iron, 160.
That's exactly the same.
You're the man.
And I'll buy that.
You're
Let me
man.
Get that
and
club.
And I'll buy that.
And I'll buy more
and
clubs.
And that's all you're doing.
Oh, my God.
Wow.
That's very sneaky.
I call bullshit.
All right.
Correct.
All right.
I call bullshit on Ben Affleck and his massive tat on his back.
Hang on. You're saying.
Yes.
Hang on. Calling.
I call bullshit.
Well, I think it's the other way, isn't it?
He claimed it was a fake a couple of years ago.
And you're calling bullshit on that?
Yes. In fact, he's embarrassed by the fact that he's gone out.
So it's real?
It's real.
But then
I'm not calling bullshit on the tattoo. I'm calling bullshit on the fact that he lied when he said he didn't have a tat and he does. And it's a massive full back tat of a really...
Give us another one, Dave.
All right.
I call bullshit.
It is the worst tat you've ever seen.
Wow. Why don't you like it?
It's really fugly and it's a phoenix rising from the ashes. Oh, poor Ben. Wow, your life's tough, man. And it's terrible colours. And he said, oh, it's only fake when people pointed it out that it was a terrible tattoo. But no, he's been spotted.
It's a big back
swimming.
Tattoo.
Yeah.
And it's
doesn't
given,
look
given the fact that he hasn't been spent a lot of time in the gym, it's kind of lost its... Luster. Yeah.
It has.
You could almost fold it like the back cover of a Mad magazine. You can fold tab A to meet tab B and create a whole new image on his back tattoo.
It's a bad look. Look
all
it
right.
Up. All right.
You've made your point.
I don't, I'm not a
Do you like tats in general? Do you have an issue with tats?
I have no issue with tats.
Are you okay if I go out and get one?
Are you going to get one on your face?
No, we're going to get a big bucket of Kentucky on my face.
That would be very embarrassing. No, it's
you
not.
You get a face
magnet.
Tattoo?
Just a little one.
Little teardrop.
Why don't you get a 3-day growth one?
Yeah.
No. Not going to happen.
That would be good. What about this Prince Harry? I want to call Prince Harry.
What?
Well, listen to this story. Mm-hmm. So this is fantastic. He said to Meghan, I want to have my bucks party in Vegas.
Mm-hmm.
And the only reason he wants to have it there is because he would really like to go and see the Grand Canyon.
I call bullshit.
Come on.
Oh, my God. I read that.
You are unbelievable.
He said he wants to go camping with his friends.
and that the closest airport is Las Vegas.
Yep.
So why don't we just stay at Las Vegas? This is a guy who's done nude billions in Vegas.
Yeah.
Are you buying that?
No, I am
Hi, Jane. I know we're getting married soon, but me and the boys really want to go to the Grand Canyon.
Oh,
so would you,
that'll
would
be
you
fantastic
mind if we
for
just
you.
swing by
Have fun, guys.
The Mandalay Inn for a week and stay there and
be good. Take care.
Bring back some pictures. Hey, make sure you bring back some pictures of the Grand Canyon.
That's
you
funny.
Idiot. I've got another one. Yeah. You good to go? Well,
I've got one.
Fine. Go.
Okay. This is fair dinkum. John McEnroe has chosen Nick Kyrgios for the Laver Cup squad.
I call bullshit.
What do you mean bullshit?
Well, sorry.
What
the hell? Well, we struggle with Nick in our own Davis Cup squad, don't we, at times? Yes. How on earth is he going to be reined in? And it was announced with Rod Laver and Roger Federer. Here is the Fairdingham having a picture with him. He went out and had pizza with them all. That's not working for me, Nick Kyrgios and all of them. Or do you think he's reformed?
Under the calm stewardship of John McEnroe.
Calm.
I believe Nick Kyrgios is...
Actually, he's going to get a whipping.
Goes Nick Kyrgios, and then you've got Roger Federer, John McEnroe and Rod Laver.
Yeah.
Wow.
There's a team.
Mm. Was he getting the pizza?
I don't know what's happening.
Was he delivering
all
the
I'm
pizza?
All I'm saying is that this is all I'm saying.
I've got one more I want to do.
I call bullshit.
Yep. The Uber driver who's doing the stories about Carl Stefanovic, who claims he didn't have a recording.
Yeah.
Right. Oh. But he didn't have a recording, but he can remember it all, 45 minutes worth, just from memory.
Bang.
I call bullshit.
Yeah, we're on
as if.
And by the way, did you see today over in America, Uber have had to stop their driverless car program?
This is not very funny, though, and I was about to laugh.
Well, they've dropped their driverless car program. Because it killed a pedestrian.
Yeah. Yeah.
It was Peter Stefanovic killed.
This is Kennedy Malloy.
There's been a Ferris Bueller moment that has occurred.
What does that mean?
Well, remember the film Ferris Bueller? You know the movie.
Really? No.
You don't?
It wasn't huge on my radar.
Really? Don't look like that. It's a good film.
Really?
What happened? You took a day off or something?
That's it.
Oh, my God. You don't have to look so cranky about it.
I'm not cranky. I just don't understand the hoo-ha.
Okay. Well, it's a great film.
Why are you referencing a film that was 25 years old that no one saw?
It was a blockbuster back in the day.
Who was in that? I've rested my case. Look at you two fumbling around like idiots.
Jessica Parker's husband.
Matthew, what's his name?
That guy. Who directed it? Who was the director?
Smitty.
How many?
Shut up!
How many Academy Awards?
Stop it!
Well,
stop spoiling this segment for me.
This legendary film.
I'm going to play you a bit.
Great.
Okay, in the film, one of the major scenes in the film is one of Ferris's mates, his father. I'm not even looking at you, I'm looking at Dave.
Matthew Broderick, by the way.
Matthew Broderick.
Oh, well done, Wikipedia.
One of Ferris's mate, his father has a Ferrari, and Ferris and they take it out for a spin.
Right.
But they're worried about the odometer because have a listen to the clip.
The odometer shows you how many Ks you've clocked up.
This will take people who love this film, which are millions, except for you, Mick, because you couldn't be fag seeing it. We'll recall this scene.
The 1961 Ferrari 250 GT California. It is his love. It is his passion.
It is his fault he didn't lock the garage.
He knows the mileage, Ferris.
He doesn't trust you?
Never has, never will.
Look, this is real simple. Whatever miles we put on, we'll take off.
How?
We'll drive home backwards.
Okay, not so funny, because this happened to someone in Sydney.
What?
To a guy in Sydney. Ilya Adams has an Aston Martin, which is a beautiful car.
It
costs $300,000. It's my dream car.
It's well priced.
Dream car, I have to say. So he put it in for a service, for repairs. Just before he did that, he had to go on a plane trip on business. He took a photograph of the odometer. Not unusual to write that down. Sure. That would be very easy to do. So when he came back, he'd noticed that the odometer was a little bit higher. Like 300 kilometres higher.
Wow.
That's unbelievable.
Call the cops. This is a rort. Ferris Bueller's back.
It had been taken, obviously, for a joyride.
Well, you can work out how far he's gone. He's had to get back. So
that's right.
That?
And he also got tickets because it went through, clicked through bridge tolls and things like that.
So we can pretty well construct the journey here.
He can construct the journey, but it was making me think how vulnerable you are when you put your vehicle in, even to this day. So
I know a bloke who was busted for being cheating on his partner with an odometer.
Oh, no kidding.
You're kidding. How is that possible?
Well, because she realised that he hadn't gone to work at all.
Oh, because it hadn't clicked over.
He's clocked over. No, he's clocked over, unless he's working in Shepparton.
Right.
So it was enormous.
The sums don't add up. Let's get the map out and work out how far your work is. And now let's have a look at how many Ks you've clocked up this week.
I love it when you have
We get the slide rule out. You get the protractor. You find a meeting point. Jeez. And all of a sudden someone's in a bit of trouble.
Oh, my God.
Well, there you go.
Oh, well, this person was in trouble. And it makes me think that whenever I, because I don't know exactly what goes under the bonnet, and when you put your car in for a service, you are vulnerable.
And I've known you ever since you had your RAV4.
It wasn't it was a Vitara.
It was a RAV4.
A Vitara, I'll have you know.
It's the first of its type. It was very cute.
It was white and Suzuki, very girly. Huh? A Suzuki Vitara. Yeah,
yeah, yeah. Oh, nice contribution, John.
Hey, listen, what it made me think of is that every time I put my car in, I always say to the blokes, because it's generally, I haven't had many chicks who have been at service departments.
Oh, right, yeah.
I say, listen, I'm the daughter of a man who works in cars. I know everything there is to know, so don't pull the wool over my eyes.
And then
and
you
do
take
anything.
A photo of the odometer?
I don't. I probably should, but it's all right. No one wants to take my Mazda around the Australia.
Can I say, that has actually happened to me once, and this is ages ago. Do you remember my car of the same period? I had the EH, the Holden EH, 64, fantastic car.
Yep.
A lime green EH64.
With a bung door.
And after the first accident, yes. But when I used to put it into the guys at the end of my street who were young Italian fellas. Yeah. They used to marvel at the the EH because even then it was a collector's item. And I remember ringing up, putting it in for service once, going, "Oh, mate, not yet, mate. No, mate, no, it's taking a while. We're still waiting on a part. Yeah, mate, it's an EH. It's got four fuses. What possible part could you be waiting for?
But so, what do you think happened?
I saw it with my own eyes in the city on a weekend. No, I see my car go. I'm not. I promise you,
oh
I'm not making this up.
Oh my God, that's hilarious.
I see my car drive past with my mechanic sitting on the bench seat with a girl in the front seat. And I'm going, right.
You can't go past a bench seat.
Well, you can imagine how that all played out.
That's exciting. Look,
which I didn't. I found quite amusing.
That is quite amusing.
They always did a very good job on my car.
Hey, look, I want to know, has it happened to anybody else? You've put your car in for service. Something weird's happened, like, oh, how come so many clicks all of a sudden has gone on the odometer or something? Has this been on a bit of a trip? Or, you've seen your car out and about, or something a bit strange
is your spidey
has gone
sense
on.
Tingling about something that's going
something
on?
Something weird's here. Happening when right. you put your car in. Give us a call.
All right.
This is Kennedy Malloy. Your new way to drive home.
Tell you what, there is a lot of love for Ferris Bueller's Day Off on the tweets.
And of course, you put me under pressure. Of course, it's John Hughes, one of my favourite filmmakers. You're just
legendary director.
I can't even speak to you because you haven't seen the film.
Well,
we're talking about taking cars for a test drive when they're not your vehicle and they're actually dropped off at the mechanics or something like that.
There's something fishy been going on. Marshy, who does production for us here on the show. How are you, Marshy?
G'day, guys.
You recall a certain instance here at this very station?
Yeah, I remember a witch hunter. Mad email chain on a Monday morning going around the office because a manager had been out on the weekend and at 3 a.m. had seen a station Black Thunder vehicle hooning through an intersection. I want to know, what was that doing? Was it giving out icy cold cans of Coke at 3 a.m?
And then it was caught knocking over a 7-Eleven, I think, about half an hour later.
That's great.
Well, there you go. Look, did they get to the bottom of it?
I think they found someone that might have needed a
car. Yeah. I like it.
I like it a lot.
Good hot car. Hey, Greg, what's your story?
Yeah, I was getting back to pick up my car so at the assigned time, and as I was walking up the driveway of the dealership, I noticed the technician pull up and open the door and go around the back of the car and pull out a carton of beer and take it inside the reception.
Yeah, but hang on, that's like a test drive. That's, but
it means that he must have taken it to the pub.
Yeah, that's right.
Slowed it up.
But before you hand it back to make sure that you know it's in perfect working order, I can't think of a better trip than through the bottle. Yeah. And you would have had to test out if you can pop the boot from the driver's seat without getting out, pop it back in, and off you go.
That's
well done.
That's a bit sus, Greg. Thanks for the call. Hey, Matt.
Hey, Gum.
What happened with your mechanic?
Yeah, a mate of mine dropped his car off, and the mechanic said, yeah, I've got to keep it overnight.
Yeah.
And a couple of weeks later, someone said they saw his car parked at a shopping centre. And he goes, no, I've never taken it there. And he went back and found that mechanic had taken it out that night down to the movies, like taking his wife out to the movies.
Because was it a special car?
Yeah, it was a Brock Commodore, yeah.
Oh, well, that is a special car. What can I say? You want to take your wife out in a depressive night.
It was actually Brock's Commodore.
Brock was in it.
He'd taken that one too.
Thanks, Matt, for the call.
Barry, what happened at the mechanics, mate?
Yes. A few years ago, I bought myself a brand new Falcon XR8.
Good on you.
Yes. It was due for a service, so I took it into the nameless Ford dealer and left the car there, and they gave me a loan car to take back.
A loaner?
Yeah.
Yeah, good.
Yes, a loaner. Halfway, about nearly back to my office, and I went, bugger, I left my laptop in my car. So I thought I'd do a U-turn and go back and back to the service deal to get my car, get my laptop. And I thought, there's a lot of traffic. I'll go down the back streets. And I went down the back streets and come to this little roundabout. And as I'm approaching the roundabout, I could see this car just doing this huge burnout. Also, I could see the tire smoke. I went, wow, that's impressive. Anyway, as the smoke cleared...
No, not yours. God.
It was my car.
Oh, mate.
Barry.
And it was the two mechanics in my car. And so once they were high-fiving each other, and they drove back to the Ford dealer, and I followed them back straight into the Ford dealership. Yeah, it was
interesting
morning.
And they were busted.
You have to know what you're dealing with. In the mechanics defense,
you
they
do.
Have to know the
yeah,
car.
They've got to do special
testing. It has to be like
testing.
An extension of their Homework. Own body. You've got to do it. That's right.
Dave.
Well done.
How are you going? Last caller we got time for. Hey, Dave, how you doing?
Good. Yourself?
Good,
yeah. What happened?
Took me brand new Camaro when there were no Camaros on the road. That's how long ago this was. But took it in for its first service and got a phone call after lunch saying, there's a problem. And I said, what's that? They said, your car's been totaled. And I went, what? They gave it to the apprentice to do the Macca's lunch run.
Oh, no. And he stacked it.
And, he ran a red light and got T-boned and just ripped the whole side off.
Dave, that is incredible. I'm sorry about the Camaro, Dave. Dave, have we got a prize
We
for
do
you?
Indeed. Give you a $100 fuel card for your new car there, Dave.
He'd be pissier. The car would wait if you're not getting your Maccas.
I think the Maccas run, yeah. I think the guy's waiting for that.
Apprenticeships.
Wow, that's an apprentice that you don't want to go back on that one.
Two comedy greats and even better mates. This is Kennedy Malloy.
In the next half hour, Russell Crowe, our special guest on Kennedy Malloy.
He's got to choose some music. We're going to go through his registry. It's called The Art of Divorce. There's some epic
items. I have gone through
this
with a fine tooth comb.
I picked my favourite item.
You have.
I'm going to put it on. I'm going to see if I can take it off the plate before it gets to auction.
We'll let him know.
Wait till you see what I've got my eye on.
Somehow
you can probably pick it out.
I think I can pick it for you.
Hey, but we've got a very special guest in the studio right now.
With his good mate Merrick Watts, Tim Ross had a pretty successful radio and TV career, mostly talking about food. They'd ring New Zealand for pizzas.
What else is good on pizza, bro?
Pepperoni.
Pepperoni, is that choice?
Yeah, I'd say it's choice.
They made drinkable kebabs.
With the taste of real garlic sauce, it's the contents of a kebab with water in a 250ml can.
And deep fried some Devon.
Imagine a sausage roll, but deep fried.
Oh my God, where have you been all my life?
But leaving radio and food behind, Rosso's latest obsession is Aussie architecture from the 50s and 60s.
I just love it. I love the lines. I love the way that it makes you feel. I love the furniture that goes with it.
Please welcome the man who knows his Boyd from his Smirkit, Tim Ross.
God.
What? Wow.
I sound like a solid medium pacer, don't I? That career. Bring it on.
You sound like you've covered a bit of ground in your time.
Oh, gosh.
An all-rounder and welcome to the show,
yes,
Tim.
Hello.
It is lovely to be here. I'm planning my next trip at the moment. I'm going overseas. But last time I went away, I went to Queenstown with my wife. Because do you guys know Ben Facey from the music industry?
Ben Facey.
Ringing a bell for me.
Universal Music. I went to his wedding and he was marrying a girl called Joe Tracy. Tracy's a middle name, so she became Joe Tracy Facey.
Okay.
And anyway, so we're going to the wedding and my wife wanted to buy a pair of shoes, these Gucci shoes that have got a little bit of fur on the back, these slip-on things, right? And I just said, they're stupid. They cost about as much as my first Datsun. But I want to get them. So she got them duty-free and then we got, and I was saying, Al, I just thought that was so stupid. Then we got to Queenstown and we're there at the carousel and this Kiwi bloke comes up and goes, excuse me. I think you've got a bit of possum caught on your slippers there. And I was laughing, just going, oh, this is the best holiday ever. And then straight away this woman comes up and says, oh, excuse me, I've just been watching you in those Gucci shoes and my husband thinks you're so glamorous in them. He's agreed to buy me a pair. And I'm going, what's going on here? And then we go to the wedding party beforehand. We didn't, and she's wearing them. Everyone loves them. Everyone thinks they're fantastic. And I'm going, getting angry about it. And then just before we go home, we've taken it very easy. I only had a couple of drinks. One of our friends said, before we go to the hotel, said, we should go into this little bar. It's got a great fit out. You'll love it.
Right.
And so we walk up and we're about to get in and the bouncer stops us and says, I'm sorry, you can't come in. You're wearing slippers. Like, yes, yes.
So it goes in the eye of the beholder.
Yes, is the Gucci's the, with the fur.
And the art of design, which is something that is very much part of your life. And what interested in you, because it began long ago, your love for Australian iconic design.
Yeah, and I like history, and I think it's really interesting when you look at history and how our archive, what our archive is. And we would have seen, for those of you in the AFL stage, you would have seen the uproar about changing the tunes.
Yeah. Absolutely.
Which is part of our history, and it's not just about change. It's about what we like and what we love, and that's part of our childhood. And if you think about it, you think, oh, it's not just you singing it, but it's your grandparents singing it, all that sort of stuff that goes with it. And that happens the same with Australian design too, the things that we create here. It's just got to look at them in a different way. Mm. And so I was really lucky, the Powerhouse Museum in Sydney.
This is fantastic. So you've put together an exhibition.
Curated an exhibition.
Well done, mate.
Of great Australian design. And they're things, they're not always the best things in the world, but they're part of ours, like the Stack Hat. And if you think about the Stack Hat, you know, like, and you never think about it, and it's like, it's this hat you wear when you're having a stack, and there's nothing more Australian than that. And we're like one of the – it's only us in New Zealand where you get to –
you have to wear one.
The rest of the world said no way. We just went on.
Everyone else in the world looks cool when they ride a bike.
Looks cool. Go to Berlin.
Yeah, exactly.
Well done, girls.
Exactly.
No one looks like a stack hat. And so how eclectic is it? Are you across – is it furnishings? Is it indoors?
Well, can I name – so I'm just going to throw something up, because one of the items that is just says the kitchen in my house growing up is the Wilshire Station. Sharp knife.
Yeah.
And that noise of it coming out and going.
Designed in Melbourne in the late 1960s. Unbelievable. Sold millions and millions and all over.
I got the crock pot. Was the crock pot ours?
No, not ours. Damn it. Unfortunately, should have been. But, you know,
it feels like it should have been ours.
We were robbed. Someone said that to me the other day, because everyone just comes up to me and goes, was this one of ours? Was the stable table one of ours?
Can we own it? Yeah.
There was another one that really struck me, and it's the Caroma stool, the plastic white stool that you would have in a bathroom. I'm not sure why you had to sit in another spot beside the toilet.
Because what they actually say is, you remember that when people had them in their bathrooms, white little mould
plastic
thing.
Yeah,
and because we had less things here, because we had tariffs and you know, you just less options.
Yes.
So they're dead as a doornail. And in the late 1970s, when the tabletop machines came in, they were the most popular things for people to sit on apart from
unbelievable.
The tell me the panel van was ours.
Panel van is ours.
Panel van is ours. And the ute, is the ute ours?
The ute is ours.
It is, because that has been contentious over the
years. No, definitely ours.
Another one is the dolphin torch. Now, I'm still a great user of the dolphin torch. I love it. I'm even sitting with the pose of the dolphin torch when you hold it up like
big
this.
Big battery inside.
Big
right?
battery.
It was a handle for a battery. A guy called Paul Coburn in 1972 designed that in Sydney.
Really?
Yeah. And for the next 14 years, that was the highest selling torch in the world. And all things that I think we should be value.
Feels
and
like it should come with a lighthouse.
I've always felt it's a whopper, isn't it?
Hey, listen, we've got to go to the calls.
Yeah.
And we'll keep walking through this.
Well, give us a call. What's an iconic Australian item that you think you'd like to talk about that we need to treasure forever?
That should be in an exhibition.
That should be in an exhibition, yeah.
Board shorts. Was that Australian? Tell me, the board.
No,
that's wine,
but the thruster.
The thruster was Australian.
Yeah. Oh, that's interesting. Yeah. Hey, we've got a lot of calls on this, Tim. So
let's get straight into it. Leah, what's the iconic item for you?
The Hills Hoist.
Is that on the poster? Tell me that's on the poster for this exhibition.
It's iconic.
Yeah.
But sadly not an Australian
invention.
Whoa.
Oh. No, it's an English
design.
Oh, we're all under the impression it was.
You come in here with your mumbo jumbo. Are you serious?
Yeah, I think I love them, and I'm really I was really sad to get rid of mine, but yeah.
Well, I wasn't sad. They're a bit of an eyesore, to be honest.
Yeah, well, you know what? When you don't do your own washing, it doesn't matter, really, does it? When you've got a household staff of eight,
it's all right.
Don't have to get involved. Jeff, what are you hoping is iconically Australian?
What about spokey dokies?
What's a spokey dokey?
What is a spokey dokey?
Is that the things you put on your spokes of your
on
bike?
On the bike, yeah, that go click-click-click?
Well,
yeah. Oh, isn't that a card and a peg? That's what we used to do.
Yeah, that's what they did. And then they had a plastic version of them, I think.
Did they?
I don't like it. I know what he's talking about.
I don't think they are. A lot of people, I think just because we had them didn't mean that they were Australian.
That's right. Okay.
Spokey dokies, that's a no, Jeff.
Mm. Glenn, what do you got for us? G'day,
yeah,
Glenn.
Hello, how are you going?
Good.
Yep, it's got to be the Chico roll, mate.
Please tell us Chico Roll's Australian.
And does that get into an exhibition?
No, well, I don't think we're really going to have a thing. But, yeah, Bendigo Ballarat, I think it was.
Excellent. Big ticks for you, Glenn. Thank you for that.
Yeah,
Mike.
But you can't put it in an exhibition, can you?
Well, you could.
Well, it's useless to
No, it's not. It'll just, it's probably could sit there for 10 years.
Maybe you should, that's all you should serve in the cafeteria.
Chico Roll.
Chico Roll.
Hey, Mike, you've got a ripper, and I definitely know this is an Australian invention. What is that?
Yeah, the black boxes.
There you go.
Black box recorder.
Yes.
Yeah, very much an Australian icon, allowing all those people to find out what happened when the planes went down. Exactly. Not to bring everyone down or anything. But
well, let's get everyone up with Steve.
Most Ubers have one of those now too, if you're in it.
Steve, I think you've got a kitchen item which has saved many households.
Yeah, as a fellow Frankston, Mick, you'll like this one.
Yep.
Toasted sandwich maker.
The Breville toasted sandwich maker.
As a single man, it's got me through life.
Do you know?
Yes, or no?
Yeah, Breville designed so many of those things in Sydney, including that massive in South Africa.
The sandwich maker. Yeah. The Breville.
And calling it a Breville, too.
Because we used to call ours a Breville, yeah. I have to say.
I've got one. I've got one down the car. I've got one in all my houses.
And what they...
It's like in case of emergency, break
Break out the Breville.
Here comes them.
But what they designed was the one that cuts them in half. There'd been the Jaffa lines everywhere.
Yes. Oh, yes. Breville, we all know a Jaffa line.
Breville designed the one where you cut it in
right.
half.
Great. Okay. I'm so sorry, Tim. We could do this for the next hour.
Will
you come back?
We'll
happily do this again.
Because
it's a load of fun. Yeah. And very good. The exhibition again?
Yeah, themanabouthehouse.net for all the info about Rosso's gear going on at the moment with the exhibitions.
Yeah. Guess what? Coming up next.
Russell Crowe.
Come on!
Strap yourself in, people. Here comes the big second hour of Kennedy Malloy.
And it is out of control. Coming up very soon, we're going to take your calls, take your tweets. The Forex Brewery going on strike during the Comm Games. That is bloody un-Australian.
It certainly is. And also Donald Trump, Stormy Daniels,
what?
Dick pics.
That's all you need to say.
That's
presidential
all you
dick
need
pics
to know.
Coming down the pike. Is there a precedent? Abraham Lincoln, maybe. It could have happened.
But in the olden days.
Let's stop mucking around and
Come
get
on.
Straight to our All very, right. very special guest.
Like the Romper Stomper?
You can bid for the boots.
A fan of Master and Commander?
Why not buy the violin?
In love with Gladiator?
My name is Maximus Decimus Meridius.
How about owning Rusty's Oscar?
It's possible.
Only kidding.
But you can buy the chariot or one of his swords.
What a beauty.
Russell Crowe has been spring cleaning, and it's all up for grabs in a Sotheby's auction called The Art of Divorce.
There's also Sydney Nolan paintings,
a Grammy Award,
and a dinosaur fossil.
Please welcome the man who won't be paying for that storage locker anymore, Russell Crowe.
Oh, yeah.
Come on, Russell. How are you, buddy?
Good, man. How are you?
Very good. Thank you for joining us. Thanks for swinging by and having a chat with us about the aforementioned and many other things. Can I say, off the bat, this is one of the most eclectic collections I've ever seen. Can you describe The Art of Divorce for us and the inspiration for it?
Well, firstly, I'd like to say good afternoon to Jane.
Oh, hello, Russell. How are you?
Hello, Jane.
Pardon me.
How are you?
I'm very well, thank you. I'm
We always have the crown.
We always have the crown. That's lovely to say. Hey, Russell, I'm very impressed with your catalogue.
Sure.
It's actually a really beautiful-looking catalogue, and I'm freaking out because I've got so many questions to ask you about it. That the main one is, how come everything is in such pristine condition?
Because I'm a collector. I'm not a hoarder.
Okay.
I actually collect things, so I care for them.
Well,
and
that's
if I have an instrument, they're restrung and they're tuned. And they,
wow.
I've actually just gone through the process. I noticed a couple of weeks ago in conversation with a violinist friend that I felt that the violin had lost a little something of its lower end, so I've had a man.
Oh my God, you are OCD.
Did you have a violin
that I care about, that I'm passionate about? So,
well, that's good to be passionate about.
And what lot number is the violin? Do you know? Off the top
that's
of
a big ticket item, isn't it?
Not off the top of my head.
So was
but
that
it is a big ticket item. But the thing is, you're not just buying that instrument's connection to the movie Master and Commander. It is an actual concert violin in its own right. It's an 1890 Leandro Bizziak. And
am I correct, Russell?
You can tell by the way it's built that it's actually the hands of Leandro as opposed to his sons or the other people he associated with who, as his business got larger. So it's a very special
Has it ever played
instrument.
The Devil's Gone Down to Georgia?
It has.
Has it? Who
has.
Did that? One of your showbiz mates laid out. Who
One
was
of my
it?
Showbiz mates, yes.
Russell.
It's had Paganini on it. Rachmaninoff. It's done it all.
He was a bum, Rachmaninoff.
Look, as I have gone through, that first of all, the artwork is unbelievable as well. Tell me about your... Now, I don't want to seem... I'm not being patronising, I promise, when I say this, but do you have a real interest in art and do you go to these auctions or you see them in books and buy them?
Not, I haven't been in the room for a while because at a certain point that got, you know, disruptive.
Yes.
I used to go to the auctions myself.
But there's great Australian artists too, Boyd's, everything.
I've also sat on the phone through the night... You know, in places like New York and London and stuff, waiting for a particular one to come up. You know, I became very passionate about Australian art when I was a kid.
Right.
You do have some cracking art in here.
Yeah.
What was that?
You've got some great cracking art in this here. It really catalog. Is. There's some fantastic
pieces. Yeah, well, I've
pieces.
Just been lucky enough to be in the right room at the right time when the right paintings...
I got my eye on a few paintings, I have to say.
Nothing from Larry Pickering, which is disappointing. I would have thought maybe, Russell, you would have had time for one
actually, of those. That was one of my dad's favourite things to have.
The calendar?
In the bathrooms of the houses we had, you know, the pubs we lived in actually growing up.
That's
was
funny.
Having the Pickering calendar, Bob Hawke's knob coming out.
With a couple of flies buzzing around
and
the
Malcolm Fraser putting his one onto a, I think it was a fishing rod, wasn't it? He was about to use it as a worm. To catch them, something.
That's right.
Hey, but you know what? Funnily enough, Jane, you know, you're sort of edging towards it because there are things that I love. The process of doing this, some people kind of want to read into it that it's sad. They don't want to just take it face value, and the face value meaning the photograph on the cover. I've enjoyed the hell out of this because I am a collector. Going, okay, so now I'm going to clear things out of the way. I've got so much stuff,
really,
you know, and I just really want to, you know, have less stuff.
I've been so
impressed.
And the
process of divorce and dividing things and selling things, because I've always been a builder, and I actually didn't know how to turn that particular Titanic. I didn't know how to deconstruct things. So it's been the last 5 years has been a learning curve for me as well.
Well, you don't
want
to
deconstruct things so that there's balance and so that everybody has, you know, the life they want and nobody feels, you know, apart obviously from, you know, the loss of our relationship and the unwinding of that, which is happens at a very deep level, no matter how, you know, you know, in much in agreement we are on the surface.
But not being trite about it. It's a sad time, but at the same time...
I'm not taking the piss out of it, and it's not an attack on my ex-wife.
No.
She's involved, you know.
Well, there's
I've been telling her for the last 12 months what I was going to do.
She's
been going, yeah. And I've been encouraging her to get involved. And, of course, this is a typical Danielle, right?
Yes.
I told her the cut-off dates, right? We need to have things by this date because it takes X amount of weeks for them to be appraised.
How'd she go with
this
that?
This place, bigger. None of these dates were respected. What I got was a phone call after we had closed the catalog. So we then had to reopen it. And I was like, okay, we can do this, right? But you got to do it quickly. You got to do it overnight.
Sure.
You know where everything is. You know what you want to. And so, you know, we did it. But, yeah, so there's you know, a sort of a collaboration in that part of it as well. Also, you know, at the beginning of that week, we're raising money for the Australian Children's Music Foundation, which is a foundation set up by her father, Don.
Yes.
And what they do is they put musical instruments in the hands of kids who are from, you know, poorer backgrounds, you know, or have found themselves in detention centres, have found themselves, you know, in an immigration center, you know, you bring music into their lives.
And well, we knew you'd be doing something good because there's
a bloody good violin there for them if you want to pass that on.
And a few cracking guitars as well.
Hey, we're going to get you, we're about to get you to, speaking of music, for you to nominate a piece of music and then come back and talk some more. But before we do, I want to see if I can take an item off the shelf before you go to Sotheby's. I'm talking about Lot 17 for me. It's a fully functioning replica Roman chariot from the film Gladiator.
He's now, pretty serious
you know
about
what
this.
I'd recommend.
What?
Those full-size horses
yes.
are amazing.
Well, they look
They're
amazing.
Absolutely amazing. Yeah. They are made with such attention to detail and such care.
I want the horses. I just want the chariot.
Yeah.
But
I want
the chariot.
The horses
I'm going to hook it up to a Shetland
it's
pony.
It's the biggest teddy bear you could ever have. They yeah. feel beautiful. It's incredible.
What about those, this? Can I take it for a test spin? Can you? What about you and me? What about you and me getting the chariot and we go cruising for chicks?
Oh,
what about the chariot? We hook it up to a couple of Shetlands.
I'm calling a halt to that.
We go out for a night on the town.
No, that's not something I want to
say. You're going to have to train a pair of horses to work with.
You're good with horses, Russ. Okay, we're going to get to some music now.
The Brumby, the Silver Brumby. Are we going well? Is there anything with the Silver Brumby in here?
There's
the coat.
There's the
moleskins and the
Bang.
Coat, which is hilarious because the Silver Brumby we made in 1992, I think, which is the same year that I went to Los Angeles for the first time. In 91, I'd been at the Cannes Film Festival with a movie called Proof, directed by Jocelyn Winehouse.
That's a great film.
It had opened the director's fortnight. And in that time I was in Cannes, I met a whole bunch of Americans who kept encouraging me to come to Los Angeles. So I did in 92, but I made the Silver Brumby just beforehand. And the director was a Greek boy from Melbourne, John Tertullis.
Yeah.
And he coveted that coat.
Oh, my God.
Right? So I'm wearing it, like, as a bloke riding through the bush in the 1920s or whatever it was supposed to be set, you know. But he wants to wear it in Ligon Street.
In real life.
He's ready to go with that coat in modern times. So he would tease me about it. The whole movie that he was going to be wearing that at the underground club and all this sort of stuff, you know.
Well, that's where we'll be taking the chariot back down Ligon Street, taking it back to the Romans, back to the Eternals.
Well, you know that Russell and I have worked together before.
What?
Hey, wow.
Here we go, Russell. What's this
haven't
about?
We, Russell?
Oh, yes, we did that children's show together.
Yes, we did. Well, it was a naughty children's show. Shirty, the slightly aggressive bear. Do we have any of that?
Which just dogged me for 15 years.
Well, take a listen to this.
There's been articles written based on people finding that on the internet and then going, wow, before he was in these movies, he was like, a TV show presenter for kids.
Hey, I'm not even sorry about that.
We've got the grab.
Okay.
We'll be back tomorrow, boys and girls. Bye for now. How's that, James?
That's fine, James.
Mm-hmm. I'd like to do another one again.
Yes, that is when you were Hando inside
how
the bear's
suit. How was that a radio gag?
Yeah, because we do that all the time.
Gag.
We know, but we've just thrown all that out the window.
Your audience is sitting there going, and what am I being what?
our audience knows.
They're very
smart. You see it on YouTube or something?
Yeah, something like that. We direct the young ones to that
can
now.
Can I ask you a question?
That was so weird. I was sitting there. And they were putting that skull cap on because I had lovely, luscious locks at the time for some other role.
Yeah.
And they're putting the skull cap on and then stippling it, you know. And my skin, it was really such a creepy feeling because, you know, Romper Stomper was a 28-day shoot taking place really over about 35, 40 days, something like that. And it was such an intense experience.
Yes, I can imagine.
Just seeing that character come back at me from the mirror, I got kind of weirded out.
You would have had to have dialed it down a bit.
I think I left in the fastest possible way I could leave.
Don't worry, I was weirded out too, Russell, so don't worry about that.
Hey, Russell,
well, you didn't know what I was going to do.
I did not.
All you guys did was like wheeled me in and said, Jane's going to say this and we'll see what happens.
Russell, I've got a true or false for you. This is something I heard around the traps there, and it's very funny you do this, but someone told me that occasionally, just for your own amusement, when you'll go into a bar full of people and where you're meeting friends or something, you take along a DVD of the Rabbitohs, and you put it on in the bar and you make out like it's just happened by accident. And so you're out there talking to your mates and you go, oh, my God, look at that. They're playing That's My Football Team. And that's, oh, my God, I can't believe
my
it. And you make everyone
way more complex.
That sounds pretty good.
Sounds like you. Know. No? Is that a no?
No. No, I have on film sets. I have on film sets, right, got into the thing of showing the crew a game once a week, right?
Yes.
But they don't know that I'm showing them games from the previous season. You know? So I'm actually curating a season for them of really exciting matches.
Hey, hey,
and you're predicting the outcome.
Knowing that I'm going to play, the last game I'm going to play them is when we, you know, score 28 points in the last 20 minutes to come back and win. You know, but I've told them it's the most important game and in this game to go through. So they spend 60 minutes
That's funny.
An absolutely funk depression, like looking back at me, like, you know, like hooded eyes going, oh my God, how are we going to be able to talk to him afterwards? And then I suddenly turn and they go absolutely apeshit. And then later on, I'll tell them, yeah, that was 2 years ago. That game was great at the time.
That's hey, how are your lads going to go this year?
Look, there's a great spirit in the club. I think there's a lot of fresh air in the club. I think there's a lot of great young players. You know, right at the moment, we have to stop being so polite because that's not what you need to be in rugby league.
Oh, okay.
I like it. All right. Who's that? Now, I also wanted to again point out to the last thing I did with you was a great fundraiser, which you were so amazing in. And I just want to say this again because people need to know this about you, that we put a call through for a gala for Russell Gilbert and you were amazing on the night. And I remember one thing you won't find in that book is an item for a big bar of gold bullion, which Russell leapt off the stage and gave to our good friend Russell Gilbert. So I know you get embarrassed when I bring stuff up like that, but I think it's important people know that about you, mate.
I wanted to talk to Russell in a way that I knew he would hear, in a kind of gag that he would have loved to have done himself. I said, I got this thing for you, man, because it reminds me of you. Because everything to do with our friendship over time has always been solid gold.
Oh, well, that's beautiful. Yeah. No, on that note, Russell, we are going to give one more plug to The Art of Divorce, which is in Sydney on the 7th of April. And if you go on the website of Sotheby's and you can register.
I can't take the chariot off the table. I want to take the can I come and kick the tires of the chariot?
Do you want to put in an early bid for it? Is that what you're saying?
Well, have another look at the picture. They don't have tires.
They're very wooden wheels from what I'm looking at.
It's logic that always
there's so many things
there was
I'm going to.
There's a design flaw in the chariot that they fix at a later stage.
Hey, good on you, Russell. Thanks
Russell,
for chatting
us
today.
Russell, you're a superstar, mate.
Great to talk to you.
Yeah, thank
you.
Well done.
And for more information on the auction, go to sotheby'saustralia.com.au.
Thanks, mate. Your new way to drive home. Kennedy Malloy. Let's go from, onto the story of the day. And I say this because it's a big story. It involves our good friend Stormy Daniels, who we've interviewed on this very program.
Kennedy Malloy's own Stormy Daniels.
And her ongoing legal furore with President Donald Trump.
Yes.
And it's starting to hot up. She's trying to get back involved and they're trying to say, no, there's a suppression order. She's sitting on some stuff. And according to articles that are coming out today, as well as recently, she's sitting on gold and we need to see it. And I could describe it to you, but why don't I let Seth Meyers describe what's going on?
Good idea.
The craziest detail is the possibility that Trump may have actually sent illicit photos to Daniels because the agreement also contains this line. Prior to entering into this agreement, Daniels came into possession of certain confidential information pertaining to Trump, which includes but is not limited to information, certain still images and or text messages which were authored by or relate to Trump. So we are looking at the very real possibility that Donald Trump sent Stormy Daniels a dick pic. Can you even imagine? Oh, you can, and that's why you're making those awful noises. It would look like a flaming hot Cheeto sitting on a Brillo pad.
Okay, you've taken us to a very bad place, Seth Meyers.
You have.
But this is a very real possibility. In fact, I would say, having looked at the documents myself, that this is, it doesn't matter how you dress it up or how much legal speak or how many pages it takes to describe it, we're talking about dick pics. She has in her possession presidential dick pics, possibly the first presidential dick pics in history. Although I do believe once upon a time, maybe Abraham Lincoln had a guy in his office and he set up a tripod, you know, and he put his head under the cover and had a... I believe that.
Is that the first dick pic?
First dick pic.
Lincoln.
Dick pic, yeah, it's in sepia tone, but it's still clearly a dick pic.
What now, the?
What would that look like? Do you know what I'm imagining in my mind? It's exactly the same hairstyle in the downstairs department.
They're
orange and just got a pointing forward and like imagine? Combed over at the back. Is that it?
I don't want to imagine it, really.
I reckon he'd have a pet name for it too. Really? He'd called Donald Trump Jr.
Junior.
What is going on? Oh. Can I ask, Jane, do you know what's... Okay, 133353, what... Right. What is the deal with a dick pic?
Well, I don't know.
What is the fascination?
I've never been sent one, and that's not an open invitation.
What?
I honestly have never, and they're not. It's not my thing.
And no, and this is where I can't quite understand the importance of it. Now, as we all know, women's bodies are beautiful.
Yes.
And they feature and have featured in magazines for many, many years. Yes. That's why there's Jugs magazine and not Scrotum magazine. It is.
I must say, it's...
This doesn't look good, guys.
No,
I don't understand what you're hoping to achieve by sending
there seems
sending
to be a spate,
a,
and it is a lot of younger women I know. It's just a, oh, yeah.
Standard sure, rig.
Standard thing.
Really?
Yes, today. Yes.
Really?
See,
that's right.
Call me old school, but I still just like to pop out from behind a tree in the park and start pampering myself. Yeah. Make it feel special. Yeah.
Can you take that back?
What's
just
that?
In case somebody just tunes in and hears that bit.
But what are you saying is that it's, I don't
it
get
is a
it.
Thing, but I'm also telling you that girls do the wahoo.
They don't.
Chicka chicka, do wahoo, clickety click. Is what I'm saying.
Can you take that back in case everyone's just tuning in now? What is,
listen,
do you understand
it's a thing.
Though? I don't understand why.
Why would you do it?
Well, you
because
look like
it's
a
daring.
Guy.
It's daring.
I don't send dick pics. I would never do that.
You would you? Are you sure?
I wouldn't.
Guys,
do that.
We are old school, but the new thing is you send a dick pic or a pussy pic.
Oh.
Well, I don't know what else to call it. What's a nice thing to call
I don't,
it? A muff pic.
All right. I wasn't ready for that, to be really honest.
And
I came
I'm
out of the blue, that one.
I'm the one who people, if they're tuning in for the first time, are going to be offended.
Wow. Where did that come from?
What if, now, they're going to say in court, is this your
They're going to
is
show
this your
his
penis?
Penis.
Is this going
to
be your penis?
And now, you say,
he might well
have to
drop
identify
his pants.
It.
He might have to drop his pants. He might have to exhibit A and just drop the ghoulies. Maybe there'll be a courtroom artist will have to draw them. So we can see it.
Televised.
Like a pickering.
Can I just find out,
right.
Is this a thing?
Is it a thing?
Well,
have you been sent
I know
one?
It is.
One?
You
what
don't
is
believe
going
me.
On?
Tell
what
me.
Is the thing?
Do you send, do you receive?
Why is it a thing?
Pics from down there. Jesus. What happened to a nice yeah. smiley
keep it,
face?
Keep it tidy, would you?
Yeah, keep it nice. Not like me, yeah, but keep it yeah. nice.
This is Jane Kennedy and Mick Molloy.
Indeed it is.
So much going on in the studio right now.
I think I'm in trouble.
Yeah. Well, you are in trouble, and we've been trying to work out, by the way, we've the question out there is, what's the deal with dick pics?
Yes.
I think that's the best we can say. We're taking all calls. We were having a conversation about words we can and can't use in this segment. The ones that are out so far are flaccid and pussy.
We weren't going to say them on air again.
Yeah, but you weren't allowed to say them. But okay. We can in the context of words we're not allowed to say.
Right.
And then we were talking about dick pics and or the female version, which I could explain or I could let Jane explain.
Girls do the wahoo.
They don't.
Chicka chicka.
Do they?
Wahoo. Clickety click. Well, I think that's clear as a bell, don't
that's
you?
That's you trying to avoid saying the word pussy.
Now,
Jody's on the line. Jody, are you there? Our producer's lost.
Naughty.
Sorry about this. Jody on a Tuesday afternoon.
We're all going to get called into the office, Sam's office. Jody, sorry about that. Now, Jody, what can you add to it? Can I ask, have you received said dick pic in at any stage?
Yes, I've received quite a number of them.
Yeah. Quite a number? Why?
Yes. What, a broad range? Or
is this via like any dating site or just guys?
Just guys, you know.
It's dating sites. It's through Facebook. It's through like SMS, like through guys I've met and then we've exchanged numbers.
So are they guys you've met or are they strangers? Who's providing the pictorials?
It's both.
How long have you known some of them and then they've sent a picture of their wazoo?
some of them, like, you know, that's the first thing they say, like, especially through Facebook sometimes.
Wow.
Now, can I ask if you've ever seen one you've liked? Have you gone, oh, that's nice? Have you ever seen one that you go,
sounds
oh,
like
that's
you've got
it.
A gallery
what's,
going
what's
on.
Your general re- it's got a gallery. What's your general reaction upon receiving said dick pic?
It's usually, well, wow, I wasn't expecting that. And then we usually, you know, share them with our friends and have a laugh. So,
so do you think guys know that it's going to be shared? Because that's what my feeling is.
I don't know. I think they think that we're going to find it really attractive and then, you know, yeah. I think they think we're going to send one back and right. we're not sending one back. We're
there you go.
Showing it amongst our friends and having a giggle at them.
Are you thank writing you, this Jody, down, guys? Writing you should be listening down. To this.
Good on you, Jody, for the call. Hello, Sarah.
Hey, guys.
What's your
you?
Dick pic scenario?
Before I start, I just want to say that I love you guys so much. Your show is my favourite.
Thank you, Sarah. Sarah.
Sorry, having a bit of a fan moment.
Woo-hoo.
Good for you.
yeah, look, I have received many unsolicited DPs in
what?
My time.
What?
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Really? Is this a thing?
It is. It's totally a thing. Yeah. And I've noticed with the younger generation now, people from like 17 upwards, girls will send their wahoos.
Just really?
Go for it. They totally crikey. Will.
Okay. That's not go. A great thing, is it? I don't know about all that, Sarah.
I don't know. I mean, I did receive a DP. It was in front of my mum. That was good.
Yeah. Oh, you opened up in front of your mum?
Your mum.
I hope she
how did that
shocked.
Go? How did that work out for you? What did your mum say?
Dramatic, honestly. I was just sitting there and I had happened to get a Snapchat through. I'd opened it and there was a glorious... Yeah, there it was, and then I got my phone taken off me.
Talking about the kids today, in our day you used to have to write on liquid paper on your pencil case, Mickey loves Diane. And
yeah, forget that.
There. Now just wagging a wagging her.
We got time for one more quick call.
We go quickly, go to Peter.
Hey, Peter.
Yeah.
What's your dick pic scenario, mate?
I actually was... Jeez. Oh, I was going to send a picture to my partner at the time.
Yeah.
It went to my father.
Well, fair dinkum, you're an
did
idiot.
Did he take that personally? I would have given my kid a clip across the ear, I reckon, if I'd have said, all right, we've got to go.
Thanks, Peter.
Yeah. Nice stuff. Hey,
so, sorry, you have dragged, you, I think you're afraid you're going to be identified at some stage.
How dare you?
Dangerous Dave.
And dare
DD.
I'm not the one who said the P word before, so yeah, we'll be a meeting after the show.
Jane Kennedy and Mick Molloy, two comedy greats and even better mates. This is Kennedy Molloy.
Just about done for another day. Kennedy Molloy, Jane Kennedy and Mick Molloy.
Great stuff, and well done to our very special guest, Russell Crowe.
Huge.
It was great to talk about.
The Art of Divorce is the Sotheby's. I've got the catalogue in front of me. There's a DP in there.
There is not.
Russell.
He's listening. You'll hear that.
What was the female version of the DP again?
Hang on.
Have you got it there?
Yeah, this one here.
Girls do the wahoo.
They don't.
Chicka chicka. Do that. Wahoo. Clickety click.
It's a very clickety click.
It's a very clickety click.
Taking
the photo.
Wahoo.
Wagga wagga. Click.
Chickada chickada. Wahoo. Clickety click.
It's the most concise way I could think to describe it.
Well,
with a little sound effects thrown in.
You are a wordsmith, Kennedy.
Hey, we thank Tim Rosso as well.
It was also great. I think we get him back because I don't feel.
There's a lot of iconic Australian designs.
And we had so many people who wanted to get involved there.
It's been a busy show.
Huge.
We talked about Trump's. DPs, which is true. I hope
covered a lot of ground, I think, today.
We did indeed. It was a load of fun for all concerned. Who are our guests tomorrow, mate?
We've got Lawrence Mooney tomorrow.
Lawrence Mooney, the new man.
I'm pretty sure he'll bring the Prime Minister
with
him.
The PM will be on deck.
I love hearing those
two. Sounds good.
All right. Hey, missed any of the show today? You can always grab the catch up podcast, kennedymolloy.com.au for the drive on.
This is Kennedy Molloy.